And a bright good morning to everyone. Before I start, I just want to say, Melanie was born in South Africa. Justin lived there for 9 years. Juliet lived there for 9 years. Now we have a whole lot of people from Africa. So we're going to call this congregation, it looks like in future, the African congregation now in Vancouver. That'll be nice. As you can see there, solitude, the blessing of solitude. Is there really power in becoming still? Is there really power in becoming still? What does it mean to become still? Still means nothing. You sit there and you do nothing. Is that really what it means? Now, before I start, it says there in Isaiah 29:13, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. What does it mean? What did Isaiah mean when he wrote this? And then as I was putting this message together, there are numerous birds and animal species that stay together for life. They travel together. They make nests together for as long as they both shall live. For as long as they both shall live. They stay together. They share a relationship with humans that we as humans can call a faithful marriage. Some of these species show affection and demonstrate loyalty and loving gestures that can put humans to shame. And there are a number. I just took two pictures. These are the ones that stay for life forever. Until one dies. Then they might move on. Do you also sometimes experience that it's hard to become quiet? To hear God speaking to you. Inviting you to have a relationship with Him forever. Do you find that hard? Are we really that busy these days? Is your schedule so busy that you can't listen to Him? How can we pull away from this self-imposed busyness with all the duties and all the obligations that we have here in the Western world? And you will learn something from our African people. You look at the sun come up and you look at the sun go down. And that is your watch. My dad never had a watch in his life. He says, you look at the sun and you look at the sunset. That's your time. I want to share with you what I've spent time alone with my Savior, the one that loves us most and the one that we should love most. Many of us here today have been in the church for a long time. And if I ask you for hands up, you will see the number of years that you have spent here in this church. The foundation has been laid and now we're building a structure on that time that we spent in the church. Spend quality time with Jesus. And during my research, I came across many examples like this in the scripture. How God dealt with these people in order that they must realize the importance to be one with God. Quality time with Him and Him alone. Whether you like it or not, God will make sure that you have quality time with Him. Sometimes without even knowing it. And I can give you some examples like Moses, David, the prophets, Paul. All quality time that God forced them in order to become one with Him. Now Moses grew up, we can read that in Genesis 2. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house for 40 years. He was there, trained, educated to become well educated to become a leader, but he was totally unaware of it. And then all of a sudden he killed an Egyptian and he had to flee because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. And he became a shepherd for another 40 years. So here in the desert, it says there, Moses was unaware, and I'm going to see if I can move this one. And if we read in Exodus 3:1, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. He led the flock into the wilderness. Now, why would God record this? He led the flock into the wilderness, not green pastures, in the wilderness, and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. I'd like you to look at that. The mountain of God is written for us. Why did God give him 40 years of education, 40 years in the desert, and now God leads him to the mountain of God? So what happens there? As a shepherd of sheep, Moses saw a burning bush and instructed Moses there, I want you to lead Israel out of Egypt. God, no, I cannot do that. I'm not qualified to do that. How many of you that have been so long in the church, that have been given a special gift from God, still sit back and say, God, I cannot do that? Moses, David, prophets, kings, Paul. God wants to speak to you, but we are so busy that we do not allow God to speak to us. Does God really want us to live our lives in this fast-paced life that is so full of stress? Our God is guiding us into the wilderness. You've been in the church for long? God is guiding you in a wilderness so that He can speak to you. One-on-one. Can you imagine? One-on-one with God the Creator, the Almighty, Sovereign God. One-on-one. But we're too busy. I don't want to speak to you, God. I'll pray and I'll speak to you, but I don't want you to speak to me. Well, that's a terrible statement to make. God, I don't want you to speak to me. I'll speak to you. Do we have access like Moses and continue to be harassed and unexpected waves of this world? Are we ready for it? Do you sometimes have the feelings of being disconnected and lonely where God is knocking? Do you have a time of solitude to see the burning bush at the mountain of God? You're in the church. This is the mountain of God here in the church. Right here. Are you happy with your life that is supposed to be full of joy? Are you content? Self-assured? Do you have self-confidence? Or are you disconnected and lonely? Then it's really and truly time for solitude. Solitude. Loneliness is something that we run away from. Loneliness is something that we run away from. Solitude is something that we run to. But we don't want to take that step. We're waiting for God to take us into the wilderness until we see that burning bush. And that happens to me, and it happens still to me, and that's why I'm trying to tell you there is a better way of doing it. Run. But how do we do it? God gave Moses time to become a great leader. 40 years of training. 40 years in the desert. Humble yourself. I'm going to give you responsibility, people of the church. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift that also includes responsibility. Moses spent time in solitude in the wilderness. I am sure in that 40 years that he was in the wilderness. God was working with Moses continuously. Let's look at David. David was anointed as king, but he had to learn to become quiet. So what happens? He has to run away from Saul. He lives in caves. His life is in danger all the time, but he's anointed as king. God already chose him to be king, but he's got to run. And now we're sitting in the church and we say, I'm safe. I'm safe. God is working with each one of us let's not wait until that time comes when we end up in solitude in the desert. Look what David wrote in Psalm 4. Psalm 4, right in the beginning of his life. Answer me when I call, O my God, who is right and good. You have made a way for me when I needed help. Be kind to me and hear my prayer. So now David is praying to God. And then if you just skip a few further down on verses, look what David is now telling to Israel. O sons of men, how long will you turn my honor into shame? This is now on behalf of God that God is speaking to him. How long will you turn my honor into shame? How long will you love what is of no use? Shake with anger and do not sin. When you are on your bed, look into your hearts and be quiet. Now, how many times have we read that psalm? How many times? But look at that. Are you on, when you on your bed, look into your hearts and be quiet. We're so quick to go on our knees and pray to God, say amen and sleep. I've got a proposal here for one of you, and I'd like to see some hands. I've arranged with Bill Gates. For those that don't know Bill Gates, he is at the moment one of the richest men. And I phoned him, and he says, yes, I'm prepared to do that. And I'm choosing one of the congregation. And here is the proposal. Bill Gates said, I will give you 1% of my wealth if you spend 10 minutes every morning with me, and I will show you how and what to do, and I'll give you 1% of my wealth. Now, he's worth $100 billion. Can I see a show of hands who would like to have $1 billion if you can spend 10 minutes with Bill Gates every morning? Yes! We are so quick to say thank you. What if Jesus asked you to spend 10 minutes with him? Now all the hands go down quickly. Becoming connected. It's time for refreshing. Now here's Jesus' promise. I will not give you just 1%. I will give you 100% of my time. 100% of my wealth. 100% of security for the future. I will give you wisdom. I will give you calmness. I will give you patience. I will give you joy. I will eventually give you a glorified body, and you will live in my presence forever and ever. Are we now willing to spend that 10 or 15 minutes with Jesus in the morning and let him speak? Rather than to say, God, help me here, help me there, help Susie, help my neighbor. Why do we rebel like Moses? God, I cannot do it. Jesus desires us to have a solid time with him. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. We read many times that Jesus went out early in the mornings. Did you ever read that? Jesus went out early in the morning to go to be alone with our Father. And he comes back and he says, I do what my Father told me to do. He knew names. I know who you are. I want to go here, etc., etc. He knew beforehand because God gave that to him. What are the effects of spending time with Jesus? Don't pray. Just take the Bible, open it, go on your knees and say, Lord, I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to learn from you. I'm here because I love you and to be loved by you. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Shh. That's not begging God. That's the time when you really and truly become still before God. when he says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He is in me and I am in you. We are one. One with God, one with Jesus, one with the Spirit. Bill Gates, I don't need your billion. This sounds far better than what is promised in material wealth. Are we yearning to be one with Jesus? What a privilege. Not with lip service, but in solitude. In total oneness with Christ. I want to encourage everyone to make regular time with solitude with Jesus. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is the time when Jesus gets us ready for the day. He has moved us into the church. There's a world out there. They are running around. But God has moved us, you and me, into the wilderness, and He is working with us to prepare ourselves. And then as we spend that time in the morning with Jesus, quiet, listening, He prepares ourselves for the day. We will more or less be prepared for the things that comes that day. And that's the time when we become a light in this world. You can't run around with the Bible and say, are you saved, brother? Are you saved, sister? That doesn't work. We have to be a light in this world. The presence of Jesus rejects the worries. It rejects the worries because I'm with Jesus. All the power has been given to you and me because we're in this desert together. We're in this desert because Jesus is educating us. It's a time when Jesus prepares us to face humiliation. Was he humiliated? Absolutely. This solitude time when we humbly come before the throne of grace is the time when Jesus gives us the answer of this pressing need that has been bothering you. Each and every one has got a different pressing need that's been bothering us. All that unexpected things that happens in our lives. Jesus is preparing ourselves for that the same way as what he did with Moses and David and all that. Elijah was waiting. Elijah, the great prophet, was waiting. There's David praying. Elijah says in 1 Kings 19, 11-12, Elijah waited there. The Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. Can you imagine? Wind that rocks, the rocks loose. It just blasted in all over the place. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Listen to that silence. A gentle whisper. There's Elijah. He's scared. He's waiting for God to speak to him. God wasn't there until there was silence. Solitude time is a time to close our mouths. Do you get sometimes in someone's presence and they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and you're going to get a word in it and they talk and talk and you want to say something and you move away. And that's how we should keep our mouths silent sometimes when we humbly come before the throne of grace. Quiet our mind. Quiet and open our spiritual ear. Listen to the voice of God. God does not speak audibly. Yes. This is a powerful way to let God's Spirit speak to our spirit. Deep in our inner mind. We first have to humbly show up before God. You first have to show up humbly before God. And then God will powerfully show up. How do I know that? Let's go there to Romans 8. Romans 8:27. The Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. It's not rocket science. It's plain, simply humble ourselves before the sovereign God. When we approach the throne of grace and we humble with a humble heart and a contrite spirit, then pride gets strangled. Pride gets strangled. And it disappears when we listen to that inner ear. When you come before God and tell Him what you want, that you want to listen to Him and acknowledge His grace, acknowledge His power, acknowledge His awesomeness, acknowledge His mercy, acknowledge His omnipresence, acknowledge His omnipotence, acknowledge His love, His purpose for your life, then that whisper, that breeze will come through loud and clear in the inner spirit. It fills the mind. That's when God acts and when miracles happen. That's when stress jumps out the window. Who would like to have your stress jump out the window? Yes, we all want that stress to jump out the window. Stress is a killer. But when we humbly come before the sovereign God, stress disappears. Calmness, peace be to you. Jesus said. Solitude time. In nature, in solitude, the soft voice of wisdom can be heard. Solitude estimates, eliminates stress. To be alone with God, it relaxes the body, and now the body heals itself. When you believe with faith that Jesus Christ is in total control, how then is it possible to be totally not calm? I want to be calm. I want to have peace in my life. But I cannot do that if I'm running around and so busy. Jesus said, how many times? Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because He connected with the Father. The Father told Him in His mind what to do, what will happen, and how His life will go forward. Look what Einstein wrote. I live in that solitude which is painful for the youth, but delicious in the years of maturity. The maturity in Christ. I live in that solitude time. Just to be still and know that God loves you, cares for you, is working out all things for you, for His glory, for His praise. How can the mind then not relax? How can we not then just humbly come before God and say, speak, Father, for your servant is listening? Let's see what it says in Joshua. Joshua 1:8. Study this book, God says. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate. What? Shout it out? No. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything I've written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. I'd like to see Bill Gates read this and acknowledge it all comes from God. What did David write? Psalm 145. I will meditate about your glory, your splendor, your majesty, and your miracles. Meditate. Look at those words. Glory, splendor, majesty, miracles. In Proverbs we read, don't sit in the circle of fools. Why? Because you will become like one of them. What does Jesus say? Come and learn from me. Not in the circle of fools. Come and learn from me. Why? There's the answer. taking hands with Jesus. I want you to become intimately acquainted with me, Jesus says, because of the love that God has for you. Sink that in for a moment. I want you, Jesus says, I want you to become intimate acquainted with me because of the love that God has for you. I'm confident Paul spent a lot of time in solitude when he was sitting in that jail writing the books for us. We read in Philippians 4, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there is any virtue in these, is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Think about the things of heaven. If you don't know what to meditate about, think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, not our challenges, not our problems. My whole life was so focused on these earthly things. I was in a total mess. I drowned my spirit. I dumped it under the water. And I didn't listen to God. But thanks be to God for His mercy. So when you pray, you speak to God. When you go in solitude, in meditation, God speaks to you. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. It was to us that God revealed these things. Now look at this. I want you to take note of this. It is to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Now you have to read that at least 10 times during, before your meditation. It was to us that God revealed these things. What? Was the miraculous signs? No. It's in quietness and confidence that was our strength. Why do we do that? And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us while we're sitting here in the desert. Freely. Not the $1 billion. And Jesus and Paul wrote to us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. No mind has imagined. That's what you do during meditation time. I asked Bill Gates, why am I so financially stressed? He says, Johannes, it's because you haven't spent 15 minutes with me in the morning. And I went to Jesus and I said, Jesus, my life is really upside down. I don't know what to do, where to do it, and what and how. And Jesus says, well, you haven't spent time with me. I want you to be with me 15 minutes daily in meditation. Do you really love God with all your heart, all your mind, with all your strength? And your neighbor as yourself? Meditate just on that one sentence that Jesus said. Because we have to prepare our minds for solitude, to become still, to become servants of Christ. And use the solitude time to have complete control of the mind, of the body, and grasp the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's when God reveals these things to one. It's when you become still before God. Become humble and teachable like little children, learning, listening, loving, not talking. That's when Jesus supplies the answers. It's when we do not talk and ask and beg. Poor me, but humbly come still before the sovereign God. That is great power. In quietness and stillness shall be my strength. We read that in the scripture. And that is powerful solitude. Great power in being alone with God during solitude time. So let us repent. What's the word? Let us repent from running after Bill Gates and come humbly, come before the sovereign God, Holy One, and say, speak to me, for your servant is listening. Christ has died for us. And we're going to have communion just now. And I want each and every one to take this in deep. Communion means in communion with Jesus for what he has done. And then we can say, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Shine in this dark world and see the reality of the spiritual world. That is powerful. That is magic. I'm going to read just the first part, and then I'm going to ask the ushers to give us the elements, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have the liquid after that. So let me just read this in communion in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. This is what Paul wrote to us. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now what did Jesus do with the bread? He didn't give each one a loaf. He broke it. And God is busy breaking us and give it to us. We are broken vessels. But he's healing us through the blood of Christ. So he took the bread. It's broken for you, he said. Take it. It is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup of after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Solitude time, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So it's not just a one-time thing. Until he returns to this earth to set up the kingdom of God fully. John 6:36 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Can you believe that? That's what Jesus said. That's meditation time. Don't just read it and run over it. I am the bread of life. God, speak to me. I want to know your power, your love in solitude time. Because I never want to hunger again. His death pictures both what he has done for us as well as what he is going to do for us in future when he returns. Can I ask the ushers now to serve, and we will all wait first for the bread and then we participate it in together, and then thank you, and then we will go over to the next one. And will you please see, not everyone knows how to open this. It is not the easiest thing to open. So if you do need help, let the ushers please help everyone that is not ready to take it. Let's just ask a blessing on the bread and the wine. Our sovereign God, you are holy. And the word says, be holy for I am holy. And we fall short so many times that we speak to you and you cannot speak to us because we are babbling. But now before the sovereign God, we want to become still and internalize of what Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross. And the night before he was crucified, he took the bread and broke it and gave to everyone and said, "Eat, this is my broken body." And we sometimes feel crushed, but we are in the desert. And we ask, let this bread strengthen us. Let this bread encourage us. Holy Spirit, lift us up because you are the encourager. And show us the direction that we should go. We thank you so much for it. We love and we honor you. Father, and as the water that you have created that we use to wash ourselves on the outside, let this drink wash us, which is the blood of Christ, wash us on the inside so that we can walk holy before the sovereign God. Holy before the sovereign God. So we ask for your blessing on the bread and the wine, and let us think about what it really means and what Christ has done for us on the cross. It is so deep, so powerful, and it is so magic, and we thank you, Jesus, for doing it. We ask for your blessing on it now. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. We read further in Corinthians 10, 16 to 17. When we bless the cup of the Lord's table, aren't we sharing the blood of Jesus Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing the body of Christ? And though we are many, we shall eat from one loaf of the bread, showing that we are one body. Then he goes further in Matthew 26, 27. Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." That's including each and every one. That is poured out for many. Drink from it. This is my blood, the new covenant that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you. Wow. Another nice one to remember during meditation time. Until I drink this with you in heaven. I get goosebumps if I just think about it. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 15:1-2, "I'm the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, say, so that they will produce more." And then the end, John 15:12. "This is my commandment." Can anyone say, what is that commandment? "Love one another as I have loved you." Let's participate in the blood of Christ. Now, Father in heaven, you are awesome. You are majestic. And we thank you for allowing us as sinners to come before the throne of grace. We are seeking the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, while on this earth, so that we can build up that intimate relationship with him to become more and more like Jesus Christ, the Son of a living God. We acknowledge that this participation of the bread and the wine, it is awesome that we can do it and bow before the throne of grace. Thank you, God, for sending your Son the only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, Jesus Christ. We are so privileged to know the truth as we read your word and meditate on it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. We lift up our eyes to the risen Christ, the rock of our salvation, and we want to build that on that spiritual rock that you've given us. It's more precious than $1 billion, more precious than the earthly treasures. You are now closer than breathing, running through our body. All the veins are filled, and we thank you for it. As we meditate daily, take our hands and lead us on that road that leads to the kingdom of our loving God. Father, we also pray for the world leaders. Let them make way for the preaching of the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Let them make a way for the preaching of the gospel. Because I've just heard last night from my friend in Pakistan, they are setting your people alight and burn them alive because they pray to Jesus. Please send your angels to protect your people so that we can worship you in truth and in spirit and rejoice and rejoice. And we thank you here in Canada that we can do it in peace for now. We also ask for your blessing on the food that we will participate in afterwards. Let it give us the strength so that we can be strong to serve one another and together to serve you, the Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.